there. Okay, let's start first with the Project for a New American Century. Kind of a lofty title there. What is this group? Let's hear the background on this group. Who are some of the characters involved?
The Project for a New American Century is something that has been under the radar of, I guess you could say, it started in 1997. Not many people know about it. Something that was started in 1997 by William Crystal, who would be best known as the editor of the ultra-conservative Weekly Standard.
A very insufferable publication, I might add.
Yeah. And he started it in 1997, and basically the purpose of it is to promote America's foreign and defense policies. And if you take a look at this group and you look at the names of the people that are intimately involved with it, you can see that many of these individuals are now part of the current Bush administration. In fact, some of them worked for the first President Bush, and obviously that would be most notably Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz. Bill Bennett's on there. Cheney actually was involved with the group at a certain point. But what's very interesting about this organization is that when Clinton was in office, you could probably say that nobody even knew that they existed.
Right.
Obviously, there were a number of different things going on in the world at the time. But when I first learned about them, and I took a look at their website, and I found some of these publications and some of these letters that some of these individuals had written, specifically on the situation that is happening right now with Iraq, I could not believe that what I was reading, simply because a number of these letters were written back in 1997, 1998, and as recently as December 2001, saying that it's crucial that the Clinton administration at the time basically start a war in Iraq and get rid of Saddam Hussein. And a number of the things that they said at the time are exactly what Bush is saying now. Nobody in the group had any intelligence information, as far as we could tell, that suggested that the United States was in imminent danger. But these folks clearly wanted to start a war. And it's just interesting now when we take a look and see what the rhetoric from President Bush and Rumsfeld, it's nearly identical to the letters that these individuals had written as far back as 1997. So it raises the obvious question, what's going on here? Why did these folks want to overthrow or have a regime changed in Iraq and felt that we were in an imminent danger?
And so, it's important because a lot of people, I think the commentators on the left have sort of conjectured and hypothesized that this was sort of already in the can even before Bush was elected, but they haven't really pointed to any hard documentation, I think, until now. I think this is before we get into exactly what those letters proposed and who they were sent to, let me just ask, do you know who funds this group, where their money comes from, what sort of financial interest?
That is something that I've been looking into. I mean, they state on their statement of principles, which, anyone interested can find, can check it out at newamericancentury.org, but they're a nonprofit, and they say that they're a nonprofit and they're an educational organization. So, it's just, I'm making an assumption now, although I don't have it, I don't have any concrete evidence, that they're, receiving grants and they're funded, by like any other profit group is funded. I believe they also probably get endowment, but I would not be surprised if they receive some grants from the government as a result of their nonprofit status.
Especially because two of their former members, two of their prominent former members, are now part of the government.
Exactly.
Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz. Okay, so let's turn to that right now. This is what we were going to talk about last week. it's these letters that these two gentlemen sent to President Clinton, and I believe then Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. I mean, the letters, what amazed me about these letters is that obviously the names that are attached to it, Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz, along with probably a dozen other people, including William Kristol and Bill Bennett, you know, all the key players in the Bush administration, and it was they sent a letter to Clinton, and the letter in 1998 was sent in January 1998, lays out exactly what, you know, the Bush administration is doing now, and the letter is more or less a plea by this think tank to get rid of Saddam Hussein and basically start a war in Iraq. I mean, they went as far as saying that the only way to do this is to get ground forces in there. Clinton obviously rebuffed them. He didn't accept the advice because at the time, despite what some people may say, he was really focused on he was focusing on Al Qaeda, and that's exactly what he said in his response. But these letters, there was no evidence. That's what's really shocking is if you look at this, you want to know, well, geez, what kind of, you know, threat are we under? Is this, what kind of imminent danger are we under? There was nothing that they offered other than they really wanted to remake the Middle East, remake Iraq, and they pushed for it.
I know you're in.
And obviously, after Clinton, you know, didn't respond to the way that they wanted, they wrote to then Republican Majority Leader Trent Lott and House Speaker Newt Gingrich laying out the same principles.
You mentioned at the top that this is kind of an under-the-radar group. It was at least in the late 90s, and still now. I hadn't heard of this group until I read your pieces on it. Why do you think that is? I mean, I know all these letters are out, you know, right in the open,
right,
on their website, quite well, in their reports.
You know, having,
go ahead.
Sure, having spent, you know, a number of years inside some major newspapers, specifically the Wall Street Journal, Dow Jones, the Los Angeles Times. I mean, the only good answer I can offer you is that there are a lot of lazy people out there, and I'm talking specifically about journalists that haven't, you know, even, that really haven't done enough research to really fully understand what's exactly happening now and why we're in the position that we're in. I mean, this has not been written about simply because I believe that they probably don't really even know about it that much. I think that if you were to just show this organization and these letters to the folks in the corporate media, it would probably be newsworthy. However, it would really kind of affect the attitude or the editorial slant taking place inside the major newspapers right now, and I think it's something that they just don't feel that's important enough.
Do you think there's also some fear amongst mainstream journalists that they'll be blackballed by the White House, et cetera, especially when, you know, two of these Project for New American Century guys are there?
Yeah. I certainly know. I certainly have a lot of experience with that. having written extensively about Enron, and then, you know, writing about the Secretary of the Army's involvement in some of those scandals, you know, nobody really wants to take the chance right now, to challenge the Bush administration.
I know
you challenge the Bush administration as a journalist, you risk either being discredited or, you can lose your job. I mean, nobody at this point wants any of the reporters to make any kind of trouble. That's probably why you've seen the coverage in most of the mainstream media it's been very boring. There's been nothing that has been earth-shattering. There's been no revelations. This certainly is an administration that operates in secrecy. But, that's a risk that somebody has to take. So it can destroy a career.
I know you're an investigative reporter, and you base a lot of your stuff, as you did these past couple of stories, on documents. You know, you like to have something that you can refer to cite. And so I'm not sure if this is a question you can answer. If you can't, that's fine. But when you were reading those letters, what do you think was their motive in wanting to call for sure. in calling for this invasion.
You know, it's funny, when I was reading these letters, I believe that their motive was, I believe their motive had a lot to do at the time with control of oil. Also, there were some situations in Israel that they, you know, I have to premise this by saying that, you know, I happen to take a very objective viewpoint of this. I think there are people out there that probably say, well, look at the names on these letters. They're all Zionists. This is all about Israel. While that may be true, I think a lot of it has to do with really kind of finishing a job that George Bush Sr. didn't finish. I also think that oil and control of some resources out there is another thing. And I also think that really, you know, getting Israel into a more powerful position is probably third there. I don't think that they really made a good case, just as the administration is not making a good case now, really what the reason is to do that. And some folks look at this, you know, some people who read my story said, well, it's obvious that they, you know, that there was a major threat at that time. That's why they wanted to do this. Well, you know, there's no evidence of that. You know, for persons actually make that kind of conclusion, I think, is irresponsible.
What kind of other policies besides on Iraq, and I you know, maybe other policies isn't the correct term because these are all sort of related, but what
right.
sort of other influence have they had besides specifically Iraq?
Well, most recently, the group, the Project for New American Century, has been successful in getting the Army to scrap its Crusader artillery program, which is something that came under... which is something that came under fire a while back with regard to Army Secretary Thomas White. He's somebody that said he didn't want the Army to scrap this program, and then he said behind Rumsfeld's back that, you know, it wasn't going to happen. But the group recommended that. The administration basically did scrap the artillery program. In addition, when Bush asked for an additional $48 billion for defense, which was something that the group recommended, which they did. That's the first two things that come to mind. And then, you know, some of the situations that are going right. It's funny, if you take a look, if anybody takes a look at this website and read some of these letters, you'll see that some of the things that they've said as far back as, you know, 98, are enemies, if you will. Things that we need to take care of are Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. And while that, you know, again, that may be true, I'm not saying it isn't. I think that it's, you know, it's obviously very important that somebody has some kind of evidence to support that. But this group has an enormous influence currently over what the, you know, administration is doing. And everything that Bush is saying, you know, you could find on this website. That's what's so amazing.
Right.
The other thing is, in one of these reports that they had, there was, which I actually didn't include, but they have a report entitled Rebuilding America's Defense Strategies. And it says that the only way that America, that the United States can undertake the sort of, you know, these a war, if you will, on a two-stage front, is if there was some sort of a Pearl Harbor-type catastrophic event, which is obviously what happened during September 11th.
Right. I just want to ask you one more thing, because I know you covered
sure.
the electricity crisis in California. I'm from California,
yeah.
so I remember that. And then later on, Enron, and I don't want to get into that whole episode with Ceylon. We'll save that for another
yeah.
time.
but people can easily see that on the you know, on the web as well.
Right. But with Enron, do you see any parallels, you know, in terms of mainstream press attitudes towards Enron? Do you see any parallels between their kind of tepid coverage of this of Iraq? I mean,
remember
Enron. It just, you know, was big for a couple of weeks, and then
right.
I've heard nothing about it for months.
Yeah. Well, that's actually a good question. I mean, some of the parallels between Enron and this, I'll tell you this, you know, the parallels are simply that Enron had major influence over the administration's energy plan. And that's not a secret. I mean, people should not be foolish enough to think that that didn't happen. That did happen. You know, Enron did recommend 14 points in Bush's energy policy, and, you know, 10 of them made it in. I'm not entirely accurate on that, but that's, you know, paraphrasing there. So there was very, you know, a very similar situation here. You have a huge energy company with major influence that influenced Bush's energy policy. There you have a think tank that, you know, influences foreign and defense policies. And again, you know, Enron, I think that the media, for the most part, seems to get very bored very quickly. Enron is not something that's really being covered that much anymore.
Right.
And, you know, probably next time you hear about it, if somebody winds up in prison.
All right, let me just give that website one more time. So as we've been discussing kind of reports and letters, et cetera, that have been written by the Project for a New American Century, it's at newamericancentury.org. It's all one word mashed together.
All one word.
New American Century.
And once you're there, I mean, once anybody takes a look at the website, I mean, just click on Iraq and the Middle East, and God, I mean, one of the amazing things about the internet now is that you can actually see all these letters. I mean, the group is so audacious in the sense that all of these letters are posted, and anyone can access them. So once people take a look at them, it really will kind of, you know, shed new light, I think, on exactly, you know, what the heck's going on.
And you can also read Jason's pieces at counterpunch.org. That's also one word. You can type in, I think they're still on the left-hand column because they were published in the past couple of weeks. But if you can't find them in that left-hand column where they list the most recent articles, you can also type in his name. It's Leopold, Jason Leopold. Jason, I want to thank you for coming on, and I hope you'll come on in the future, especially when your book on the California electricity crisis comes
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
Thanks
my
a lot,
my
Jason.
Pleasure.
Take care.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.